Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are talking about a hat rack this week.
We're talking today. About a hat rack.
Not this week, today.
Today.
Yes. This week we are, I don't know why I keep saying this week. I know why.
We are a daily show, John.
I know why. It's because I had 4 hours of sleep last night and my brain is fucking fried right now. So.
Did you play some video games? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
Still on that Destiny bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say shit, man. Yeah. I've been playing Fallout.
Oh, have you actually been
playing? Yeah. Yeah. I play it at my pace, which is 20 minutes at a time over the span of 3 days.
Sure. But you know what? It's a good game.
It's so far, it's very nice.
Did you get any mods for it?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet.
Do you want to just start this episode over?
No, I'll keep it in. Talk about some Fallout. I don't care. No, it's been cool. For the listeners at home, I am historically...
Oh, you are keeping this in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I am not a video game player. Nothing against them. I just have never really found an interest in them.
They stress you out.
They stress me out sometimes. I'm sure that I will hit that wall with the Fallout game at some point. For now, I'm playing it, enjoying it. Because of the Fallout TV show, this is not a plug for Amazon, but it is a very good show.
Yeah. This is a very strange Dune episode Dune podcast.
Wow. We are episode. Multifaceted,
like,
John.
Yeah, like I said.
We could talk about many things.
We can. But instead, we're going to talk about Paul's dreams.
Yes, let's get through this.
So we had the weird question of, do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them? Which, once again, not going to beat a dead horse. Weird way to ask.
Yep.
A question of, do your dreams come true?
It's a very timely reference since the Kentucky Derby just happened.
Sure. I don't.
I heard it called Amish NASCAR. And I loved it so much.
All right. I care about this now.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
Amish NASCAR. I love that. Paul's answer? Not exactly.
Not exactly. Okay, so I said in the last episode that I loved Paul's answer to this question because it is different than what the book's answer was. He says yes in the books.
Why do you think they changed that?
Because not exactly is a better answer.
Okay.
Because his visions and his prescience, what he will know, come to know as his prescience, is not an exact science. Things do not happen exactly the way that he sees them. We, in the books, we come to figure out that no, it's not exact. He gets the benefit of some
things do happen, but they're not always exact. And it's not really a known science as to why Paul's visions work the way they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the books, like we that is something that we learn through the course of Paul understanding who he is and waking up, that the things that he sees in his visions are kind of like that is their current trajectory, you know. But decisions that people make change the future.
Sure.
So he can see, he can see visions and he can see what he thinks is going to happen. But it's not set in stone. Nothing is set in stone. The movies do not seem like they're going to spend a lot of time talking about the fine details behind Paul's visions, or at least they have not yet. So I think this change from, yes, things happen exactly as I see them, to no, they don't happen. Things happen not exactly like I see them. I think it was a good change. It is much more accurate to what's going on.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it was a good change.
Also, probably a change just made so that way they don't have to explain too much and get into the weirdness of prescience and everything like that. It's just like, yeah it's very clearly like the kids having visions. A wide audience would understand that. Let's move on.
Yep. Yep.
And move on we do, because Moheim says one of my favorite lines, which is, goodbye, human. I hope you live.
Goodbye, young human.
And Paul's just like, he's got this look of, bitch, are you serious? And Jessica follows Moheim out of the room.
Yeah. When she said that, the first thing that popped into my head is that Steve Buscemi, hello fellow kids. It's that meme.
Yeah.
And I had a note, not that it needs to be discussed like in depth. I just said, wow, what an asshole thing to say.
Yeah. I had a note in here, and it's like, what a wild thing to be woken up to then have to do. What do you even do after this? Like, do you go back to bed, or do you just like stay up and just like sit and question all of your life choices
right
at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a weird 3 a.m. wake up for Paul.
Kind of a weird commentary on my own state of being while recording this, or while writing these notes, because I did all of this very late at night. Yeah. But Jessica's following Moheim out of the room at this point, and she's just straight up like, yo, did you have to go that far? Yeah. The Bene Gesserit are all back outside. It's no longer raining, but it's very spooky and misty and everything. And one thing eerie that I noticed is that all of the other Bene Gesserit sisters at this point, their robes and everything don't appear black, but more of like a dark silver. And they almost have like a weird shine to them and everything.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
I just thought it was very interesting because like Jessica and Moheim are both still in there, like very clearly, you know, black robes and stuff. Whereas the rest of the sisters are in what appears to be different garb. Like I said, doesn't matter to the story. Just a cool little observation that I
made. Yeah.
I would also like to shout out another Glow Globe.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the Lord's work out here.
Yeah, she goes, did you have to go that far? And Moham's response was pretty much like, motherfucker, it was your own fault.
Yeah, you chose to train him in the way, is what she says.
Yep.
Moham is not about to start arguing who is in the right here.
No.
And she then goes on to explain that because of this, he had to be tested to the limits. Because he does wield these Bene Gesserit powers.
Yep.
And then one of the most scathing lines, so much potential wasted in a male. Yeah. You were told to bear only daughters, but you and your pride thought you could produce the Kwisatz Haderach, or the cream cheese hat rack, or whatever you would like to call it. We have a million different names for it, but the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah, I call it the QuickBooks Sazerac. this point in my notes. Jessica says you were told to bear only daughters.
Moheim says
this.
Sorry. Says to Jessica.
Yes. So I have a couple notes about this because that is a odd thing to say.
My note here is, let Zach talk. So go for it.
Okay, so this is a lot of information that is going to be pulled mainly from the encyclopedias now, just because they actually go, you know, way deep into, you know, this kind of stuff. I did bounce around the Dune Wiki a little bit to gather information, but
shout out to all the editors of the Dune Wiki.
Yep. And it follows very, very closely with the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So what Moheim is referring to here is something called Prana Bindu training. It is something that the Bene Gesserit go through as
Prana Bindu.
Prana Bindu. Okay. So Prana is Sanskrit for energy. Bindu is Sanskrit for points. So energy points.
Okay.
And basically what this if you study this enough and you master this particular type of training, you will have conscious control over every nerve and muscle and function in your body. So for you and me, breathing is not something that we consciously do.
Yeah, it's what our lizard brain does.
Right. And our heart rate is not something that we can control.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to influence it, but a Bene Gesserit with a sufficiently, who's sufficiently skilled in this would be able to just go, okay, my heart rate's at 60 and now it's at 120. It's, you know, just like immediately be able to make their, like physically make their heart beat faster or slower, or their metabolism go faster or slower. It's like all these different things.
God, the amount of money that I would pay to be able to make my own metabolism go a little bit faster.
Right. one of the things that, you know, mastering this skill allows you to do is, as you know, if you are a woman who has a an embryo developing inside of her, you are able to manipulate the chemical reactions and the development of that embryo to determine the sex of the baby.
Wouldn't you be manipulating what, not necessarily the embryo, but the sperm that you would allow to fertilize the egg?
Maybe that is a case of it.
I feel like that would be more accurate than manipulating the embryo, because if the sperm is only carrying XX and not XY, then
maybe
we're getting into weird, like weird sci-fi, also conflicting with biology. And
all they say is that they can control the how the embryo develops, and it will have, you know, whether it's a male or female child.
Sure.
This skill, I mean, obviously is very useful for the Bene Gesserit in their birthing program, or eugenics experimentation, as I like to call it.
Just a little eugenics as a treat.
Yeah. You know, it's weekend, so yeah. Why not treat yourself? They use the skill, a lot, to cross bloodlines and to really get them towards the goal of producing this Kwisatz Haderach.
I had a thought when I was watching both this Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2. How fucking inbred do you think these great houses are? If the Bene Gesserit are like having like people within the houses like marry each other over tens of thousands of years, like the fact that they don't all have just giant Habsburg ass chins at this point is astonishing.
I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact wordage, but the encyclopedia does
address this.
Okay. Yes. So it is not the families marrying each other. Like that is not all that happens. So when the encyclopedia is talking about the parentage of a Bene Gesserit.
Yeah.
So a Bene Gesserit sister will not, like 9 times out of 10 will not know their family, like their parents.
Sure.
They won't know where they came from. That is kept secret. But the record keepers, you know, high up and within the Bene Gesserit, they do know. They know the family trees and what's their crossing.
Sure.
So one, they keep things
a tree and rather than a bush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, so a Bene Gesserit is not just someone who has had Bene Gesserit parents or a mother, but also someone who that they would deem as traits that they want. So it could be someone completely outside the, you know, whatever lines they're trying to cross, but they have traits, desirable traits, and so they introduce that new genetic material into the path. So they're careful about it.
Yeah,
they're not just, you know, marrying cousin to cousin to cousin to cousin to cousin to cousin a million times. They're doing things with intention and very meticulously.
Okay, cool. So yeah, they're very clearly like keeping track of everything.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, there's just a question that kind of came up, because it's like, oh, this is strange.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure they have a very big Excel spreadsheet where they're keeping all these notes.
The person that is just keeping track of that is one of the Excel speedrunners.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever seen those?
I have not.
Okay, so there's this whole after this, I'm going to introduce you to the world of Excel speedrunning.
I don't want
to
know this.
Dude, it is, you think you know Excel? No, you don't know shit. These guys are like, will create entire like companies worth of workbooks within like minutes.
See, if I learned Excel to that degree, I would work myself out of a job.
If I knew Excel to that degree, I would tell companies what they would pay me.
That's fair.
Like, yeah, no, the amount of skill there is insane. Anyways, yes. Long story, going back to the Bene Gesserit though, the reason why I asked about like the weird, like cousin marrying thing was because it seemed like if Jessica was told only to bear a daughter, the intention was to further marry her to someone else, yeah. Some other royal, you know, or
well, yeah,
great, I mean, great that, house.
That was the intention. I mean, yeah. that was, you know, explained in the books very explicitly, like, yes, we wanted you to have a daughter because we had plans for that daughter. You know, you got Leto's genetic material, that, you know, the traits and everything that we wanted, have a daughter. Get her into the Bene Gesserit so we can have her do some other things that we want.
So I want to talk about the Kwisatz Haderach now. So it's a male. Is Jessica herself, I guess, more of a fanatic than in like the belief of like, has Jessica fallen victim to the Bene Gesserit propaganda of the Kwisatz Haderach, and is she like more fanatical about it in this case, or like what?
I don't think she's
thinking that she could be the one to produce.
I don't think she's any more or less devoted to that cause than others.
Because I kind of got the impression that Moheim was thinking that Jessica was a little off her rocker.
She,
in this case,
yes. So I think there's two parts to this. One, and the main part, is Jessica really, really digs Leto. She's like devoted to him. He wanted a son.
So she did that for him.
She did that for him.
Not directly to produce a Kwisatz Haderach.
Well, that's maybe a secondary reason.
Okay.
I don't think it is the driving force behind it. But I mean, this is why Moheim says so many times, like, you know, your pride.
Yeah.
I think there is a level of that.
You and your pride thought you could produce the Kwisatz Haderach.
So I don't know. It's probably a very complex reason for this, but the one that I always like centered my thoughts around in this situation was she did this because she wanted Leto to have a son, because he wanted one, because she loves him. So, but, I mean, I'm sure we'll figure more of that out as we watch.
And then Jessica claps back, "Was I wrong?" Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah.
That she's just like, I mean, I'm not wrong.
Yeah. She goes, Moheim says, his sight has barely awakened.
Yes.
So that is referring to his prescience.
Well, yeah. So as we've talked about, you and I like to read our movies. Sight being specifically capitalized, was going to ask if that was the prescience and everything.
Yeah, it was. And when she says it's barely awakened, Paul doesn't know what to do with these visions yet. He just thinks they're, you know, they're dreams in the future. He can't control them. You know, they come to him as dreams.
Yeah, she says, you're lucky he didn't die in that room. If he is capital the one, he has a long way to go. His sight, capital S, has barely awakened, and now he goes into the fire. Literally, the Arrakis is hot as fuck.
Yeah.
but yeah, as you were saying, like his prescience are what he just imagines are dreams.
Yep. I can't. I just wrote down like some lines as she's talking. So I may skip over some stuff, but mm-hmm. she goes, our plans are measured in centuries is another, like kind of the next point, big point that she makes.
Yep.
Again, referring to the birthing program, the crossing of certain bloodlines and traits in order to bring forth the Kwisatz Haderach. And then she says something very interesting. She says, we have other prospects if he fails his promise.
Yeah. Which to me kind of seems that Moheim is on board with Paul being a male, even though like,
well, it's
so, or she's at least on board with it now that she has seen Paul go through the test.
Yes.
Of the Gamjabar.
So in the books, Moheim is equally pissed off at Jessica.
Sure. Oh no. Like she's equally pissed off, but during this, like you see Jessica like kind of looking down as Moheim is scolding her, kind of mm-hmm. like how a kid looks down yeah. when their parent is, you know, scolding yep. them or whatever. So yeah, no, I wasn't saying like she's not pissed about this.
Yeah.
But she also recognizes that there is potential.
Yeah.
But also if he dies, there are backup plans to plan.
Yeah.
Plans within plans, Zach.
Did we cover Jessica and Moheim's relationship as we talked?
Yes, because okay. Jessica goes tells Paul
she was my teacher
at the Bene Gesserit school. She's now truthsayer to the emperor yeah. himself.
Well, so she was, according to the books, she was more than just Moheim was more than just a teacher to Jessica. Jessica was basically like her handmaid.
Oh, okay.
So she was a personal assistant for almost 15 years, she says. So this relationship they have is not just of a teacher to student. It is much closer. It is much more akin to a mother-daughter relationship than just a colleague.
Got it.
So the fact that she's being scolded
means a lot more. They're not just co-workers.
Right. Yeah. So other prospects, neither the books nor the encyclopedia or anything that I've read so far has gone deep into what other prospects mean, or at least specifically who other prospects were.
Sure.
We get one other mention in the books that doesn't happen for a long time. So we'll save it.
We'll save that for Dune Part 2.
Yeah. It would make sense that, you know, if they're keeping track of the traits and the bloodlines and everything like that, there is more than one path to their ultimate goal.
They don't keep all their eggs in one basket.
Right. That's literally one of my notes. Is not all the eggs in one basket. And then Jessica asks, do you see so little hope?
Yeah.
Which is again, not sure if it was intentional. I like to think it is because the writers of this movie are very smart. I saw this as a callback to a particular line in the book.
Okay.
So when Paul is going through the test, Moheim is like reading his reactions. She's observing him. He's doing very well. You know, he's focusing himself. He's not freaking out like an animal would. And she is hopeful. Moheim is hopeful for a moment. She's like, oh my God, could he be the one? Cause is this like, he's doing great. He's doing all these great things. And then she says this line like to herself, and it's internal monologue. She says, hope clouds observation. And then she's immediately back to being this, you know, stoic, mean person that we see.
Gotcha.
So that line seems to me like do you see so little hope? And just knowing that context of, oh no, she did. She did see hope, but she turned that off.
Yeah.
She made herself objective again. Gives, I don't know, just some color commentary to this interaction.
It's like a little, hey, we see you to the book yeah. fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but hey, that's what we're here for, right?
No, I feel like this movie has a lot of those like little tiny moments here and there.
Yeah.
And then some that are completely ignored, how Gurney Halleck is a rolling ugly man.
Well, that's yeah, they had to get Josh Brolin in there, so yeah. They couldn't be a rolling ugly man. No. Yeah, and then our minute ends
Our minute ends with that question.
Well, it ends with Moheim turning around and going, "On Arrakis," and that's the end of it. So we'll get to sit all weekend in suspense as we...
What's on Arrakis, Zach?
Pain.
Oh, God.
all right. Well, that ends out the week for us. Any more notes from you, I guess I should say, ask first?
No notes, but I want to know how many Shai Hulud you're going to give this week.
Oh, buddy.
I feel like this week has potential to be...
I'm going to go a solid 5.
Yeah.
On this. I mean, obviously the Gom Jabbar test is kick-ass. That's iconic moment from the book. We get to see a lot of the relationship between Moheim and Jessica and Paul.
We get our first in movie mention of the Kwisatz Haderach.
That's true. We get a number of Glow-Globe sightings.
Yes.
In this set of minutes. So yeah, I mean, it's great.
Look, any minute that has a Glow-Globe sighting is an automatic 10 in my heart.
So. Yeah, I think so. So I like it. Yeah, so I'm going to go solid 5.
I'll meet you with 5. Nothing that you haven't said already on that. So
yep.
We are available at Twitter at Dune Minute. You can also email duneminute@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram at the Dune Minute.
Please do. We like talking to people. Well, I like talking to people. Just let us know what you think. If there's suggestions or anything we get wrong, we'd love to, you know, issue some corrections, because Lord knows I'm not 100% in my my notes.
And yeah, come yell at us for the things we get wrong.
Well,
be
nice.
You know,
if it's things we can't change, like Zach's voice sounds weird. Okay, don't say that shit.
Well, but, I mean, you could just like hold your nose and talk the whole time on the podcast. That'd be really cool.
No, that sounds... I will not do that. But if you want to shout at us for some stuff, let us know. Reach out, and we will be back next week as we continue our discussion of 2021 Frank Herbert's Dune. See ya.
See you later.